concept of transparency and government has disappeared, the concept of due process and those precious principles of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution are now being shredded.
There is no nuclear problem in Iran, but United States is hoping for a bad report on Iran so that they can use it as a pretext to attack Iran.
What I believe is America is a great country, but the truth, it's a country for the white man.
We have to be willing to say that we will not let the issue of safety and concern for nation divide us based on religion, race, class, or citizenship.
This is Pacifica's Peace Watch for Tuesday, May 27th, 2003. I'm Verna Avery Brown. Gunmen opened fire on American troops at a checkpoint early today, killing two U.S. soldiers and wounding nine others in the troubled town of Fallujah. That's according to the U.S. military. U.S. troops returned fire, killing two Iraqis and capturing six others for questioning. Hours later, two American military police officers were injured, at least one seriously, after two attacks with rocket-propelled grenades on a northwest Baghdad police station. In the past 3 days, seven American soldiers have died in attacks or accidents in Iraq, but the American general commanding troops in Baghdad said today that security is improving in Iraq and that U.S. authorities are making progress on improving life for ordinary Iraqis. The attack in Fallujah happened around midnight. Senior Bush administration officials postponed a meeting at the White House this morning that was scheduled to discuss U.S. strategy towards Iran. The meeting, rescheduled for Thursday, comes in light of recent intelligence information the administration says suggests Iranian al-Qaeda operatives played a role in the May 12th suicide attacks in Saudi Arabia. Those attacks killed 11 and injured 200 in Western housing compounds in the capital, Riyadh. Peace Watch spoke earlier today with Simeon Royanian, an Iranian-American economist and co-founder of the group Women for Peace and Justice in Iran. We asked her how much evidence there is of the Iran-Al-Qaeda connection and what exactly Iran's role is in the U.S.-led war on terrorism and what it has been thus far.
I do not know whether there is a relationship between the Al-Qaeda operatives and the bombing that happened in Saudi Arabia. But the important question is whether Iranian government is involved or not, and that is what the American administration claims. And there is no evidence for that, because historically, ideologically, and politically, the Iranian government has consistently, in fact, been in conflict with Al-Qaeda and their line of Islamic idea that they promote, which is connected to the Saudi Arabian view of Islam. And also, Iran was consistently in conflict with the Taliban government and has never had any philosophical, political, or direct connection to the Al-Qaeda. Some of the Al-Qaeda members may be inside Iran because there are very porous borders between Iran with Afghanistan and Pakistan, especially since the war of U.S. with Afghanistan. And many of Al-Qaeda-connected people might have tried to come to Iran, and Iran has said that they have arrested many Al-Qaeda members, and recently they arrested several of them that may, in fact, be connected or not to the recent bombings, and Iran is interrogating to decide exactly who they are and what their connections may be.
Well, what exactly has been Iran's role thus far in the U.S.-led war on terrorism?
In fact, from the beginning, Iran's position was that Iran cooperates in the war against terrorism, and it has consistently stated that if they arrest anyone, if they come across anyone that is involved in that, they will also arrest them. The only issue has been that Iran has not agreed to do the other governments who follow United States to do. They have not agreed that automatically deliver to the U.S. government anyone that they arrest and are suspicious. And in the past, they have arrested, in some reports they say, up to 500 Al-Qaeda members, and many of them they have deported from Iran. And if they have been trying to get into Iran from the borders and they have found them, they have deported them back. Iranian government does not want to be involved in delivering people to the U.S. government naturally because they don't even have a diplomatic relationship at this point. And another issue that the Iranian government brings up at this point, which is very important, is the issue of an Iranian exile group, the Mujahideen Khalq, which has been in Iraq, has cooperated with Saddam Hussein over the last close to 20 years during the war that Iran had with Iraq. The Mujahideen Khalq had a camp, and they are military fighters, and they are on the list of terrorist organizations of a State Department. But after the U.S. occupied Iraq, they have decided to cooperate with the members of the Mujahideen Khalq. And the Iranian government, in its discussion with U.S. In the last week, has said that State Department and the U.S. government do not treat the issue of terrorism the way they should. In other words, there are this terrorist organization which has consistently cooperated with Saddam Hussein, and now America is cooperating with them instead of arresting them.
And so how damaging is that, do you think, in terms of relations between Iran and the U.S., the fact that the U.S. is cooperating with this group that you say is a terrorist group?
It is very damaging because there is the possibility that United States government will want to or is currently using the members of the Mujahideen group to infiltrate Iran and use them as, in fact, its operative through its CIA covert activities to entice the so-called popular uprising. And this is very dangerous because they have this camp and they are Iranians, they speak Farsi, they have connection in Iran because they have been a consistent opposition group across the border in Iran Soleimaniye, very close to the Kurdistan area. And so they can be very effective operatives for the CIA and the plan of the U.S. to create destabilizing Iran.
Republican Senators Sam Brownback of Kansas and John Cornyn of Texas have co-sponsored a bill in Congress to fund Iranian exile groups. What do you know about this bill, and what's the likely timeline and scenario that the U.S. will act on in regards to Iran, in your opinion?
In fact, this bill, I believe, is very similar to the bill that they passed when they gave money to Ahmad Chalabi to establish the Iraqi National Congress. And, the United States Congress passed a bill and actually gave money to him when he established that.
So does that make you nervous then, given what has unfolded in Iraq?
I am very nervous. I have been nervous for a long time. And I was on the phone to several people in Iran all over the weekend. In fact, what's happening is that the Iranian exile organizations in the U.S., majority of them are pro-U.S. policies. There are Reza Pahlavi, the son of the Shah, and who has recently been in talks with Israel, because Israel, of course, has a lot of interest in the issue of Iran, and Israel has been pressing the United States on the issue of nuclear weapons in Iran and has demanded that the U.S. makes Iran to disband and not continue or complete its nuclear energy plan that it's building. So Reza Pahlavi, eldest son of the Shah, who is also among the group of exiles working with the U.S., has been in very direct contact with Israel on this issue, is getting support from them. And there is an organization of Iranian Zionists in Los Angeles, that their name is MEHR, Mehr Iran, and they have a pro-Sharon policy, and they have been working with the American congressmen there promote regime change in Iran. And there are also other Iranians in Washington, D.C. of different stripes that they have been very active in the last few weeks. They have held meetings and they have issued pronouncements about their position and the necessity of regime change in Iran. And there are several Iranian analysts that work very closely with the American Enterprise Institute. So there is a whole conglomerate of Iranian exiles in the U.S. that work very closely with the U.S. government, and they will definitely be used to entice some kind of event in Iran similar to what the CIA recently tried to do, in fact, against Chavez in Venezuela, and in that case, they were not successful.
Well, it does sound like what you've articulated is a pattern on the part of the U.S., the approaching or funding the exile groups that mirrors what happened with Iraq. You've got these groups that are, and you say there's the son of the Shah, and the Israelis are pressing the U.S. on nuclear weapons in Iran. It sounds like perhaps they're leading towards building a case against Iran. What is the status of nuclear weapons in Iran?
With all the information that someone like me can have, which is the information from the United Nations and the United Nations Agency on Nuclear Energy, which is headed by Mr. El Badrawi, that also headed the inspection in Iraq, every report from them up to now has clearly stated that Iran is a member of this UN organization, has never withdrawn from it. For example, North Korea has withdrawn from the organization. And also Iran asked Mr. El Badrawi to go and have an inspection in Iran. In fact, as soon as the U.S. ended the inspection in Iraq and started its attack, Mr. El Badrawi did go to Iran right at the beginning of the war with Iraq, and at that time his report was that nothing negative is happening in Iran. Iran has been building a nuclear energy plant in a port in the south, which is called Bushehr, on the Persian Gulf, and Russia is building it, and the Russian government has consistently said that it is a nuclear energy plant, and in the contract with Iran is that Iran will send the used nuclear material to Russia, and Russia will de-weaponize it, deem it, you know, not usable, and then send it to Iran to be buried in Iran because they don't want to take the nuclear waste from Iran. And up to today, they have insisted that that is the case, and it is not even completed yet, and it is for nuclear energy. So Iran is in complete compliance with United Nations regulations on this issue. And again, they have announced, I believe yesterday or today, that they are asking that United Nations send inspection and have a complete inspection. And it is interesting that United States has said that they are hoping for a very critical and negative report from Iran, which to me is very interesting for the American people to pay attention to the words used, because if United States is interested in not having nuclear weapon in Iran, it should hope that the report is negative, that in fact there is no nuclear problem in Iran. But United States is hoping for a bad report on Iran so that they can use it as a pretext to attack Iran.
Samin Rouhanian is an Iranian-American economist and a co-founder of the group Women for Peace and Justice in Iran.
Do we go, do we not, raise the blade, trim the rot? Are you ready to be shot? Do we want a war? Anybody listening, haven't we learned anything? What's the point of killing when it hasn't worked before? Final culture clash, before this fragile piece is smashed, before we all do something rash, back it up. Situation simmer, nothing to consider, implications of a war, nobody will win.
fundamental chaos, fighting for the right to use God's name and everything related to the cause. Everybody, everybody brave. Everybody, everybody believe.
UN Secretary General Kofi Annan today announced the appointment of Sergio de Mello, the UN High Commissioner of Human Rights, as his special representative in Iraq for 4 months. De Mello will establish the UN presence and mount the UN operations in Iraq.
It was not an easy decision, but it also reflects the important challenge that we need to take on. No one has more experience in this area than Sergio de Mello. And I think for us to really get organized and become operational and effective immediately, I needed someone who can hit the ground running and help us set up the operation at its early stages. So Sergio will be there for 4 months and then return to his assignment in Geneva. In the meantime, Betty Ramcharan will serve as acting High Commissioner. And I hope Sergio will have the support of all the member states, and also I'm confident he will work well with the coalition authority in Baghdad and with all the other groups in Iraq. I will now invite Sergio to say a few words.
And thank you for your kind words and for your renewed confidence in me. The people of Iraq, as we know only too well, have suffered and have suffered enough. It is time that we all, the Iraqis first, the coalition authority and the United Nations, come together to ensure that this suffering comes to an end and that the Iraqi people take their destiny into their own hands, as the Security Council resolution calls for, as quickly as possible. And we must not fail. I consider the development of a culture of human rights in Iraq as fundamental to stability and true peace in that country. I believe, on the basis of my experience, that respect for human rights is the only solid foundation for durable peace and for development. I shall place particular importance, as agreed with the Secretary General, on the need to ensure women's rights and their full participation in the consultative processes, not least the political one, that lie ahead.
Sergio de Mello, the new UN Special Representative for Iraq, and UN Secretary General Kofi Annan speaking today at a press conference at the United Nations. The Secretary General responded to questions from the press regarding the recent resolution lifting sanctions in Iraq.
The sanctions were lifted in the name of the Iraqi people, and now Mr. de Mello has been appointed in the name of the Iraqi people. Who are these Iraqis? Have they been consulted? And number two, there are 300 million Arabs and 1 billion Muslims in the world. Why not one of them, with all due respect to Mr. de Mello?
Let me first of all correct you. I didn't say Sergio de Mello has been named in the name of the Iraqi people. I said Sergio de Mello has been named to go and work with the Iraqi people to assist them. And it is their interest and their concerns that we should put, that should be forefront in our minds. And I think, as to your second question, I have a great deal of respect for all religions. It wasn't a religious factor. And I think as we move forward and the team is formed, you will see that your question will be answered.
UN Secretary General Kofi Annan. With in-depth daily coverage of the occupation of Iraq now fading from the media spotlight as Iran and the Middle East peace process take center stage, Armand Pai from Pacifica Station KPFK visited an Iraqi mosque just south of Los Angeles to find out how Iraqi Americans feel about recent events in their native country. He presents now some of their voices.
I think Iraq, the people, they depend on Saddam Hussein too much. Instead of waking up in the morning and praying, they just go out there and make muzahira, saying, oh, we'll give you our breath, we'll give you our blood for if he comes back.
Muzahira is protest. Protest in Arabic is muzahira. Yeah, protest.
They're chanting, بالروح بالدم بديك يا صدام. Instead of that, they should say Allah. Instead of him, he's not going to do anything. He's just going to abandon his country.
Anything to say?
Candy.
candy.
Everybody loves He's the candy guy.
Oh, wow.
You like candies?
Yeah.
How much do you like candies?
Oh, a lot. A lot.
I like candies.
Oh, wow.
Hi, how's it going? Your name is Mustafa, right?
Everybody, one line.
Hi.
I don't think he speaks English.
Oh, really?
Arabic, Gullu, huh? He speaks only Arabic. That's the guy who we brought from Iraq.
Oh, really?
Oh, I can translate.
So how you like it here in Pomona?
Why? A little bit.
And how long you been coming to this mosque?
صار لك زمان بتيجي لهذا المسجد من أول ما جيت. He was brought here like 2 months ago. He's only with his mom now. His father died with in the bomb.
Oh really?
You see his hand?
Just
hold on, 1 second. So this is what happens to him because of the bomb. So now, every time he's in the car with somebody and he sees helicopter or something, he gets scared and he screams and he runs away. He tries to jump from the car, jump outside. Because anytime he's عمرك كم مصطفى؟ 8 years old. So anytime he's in the car or in the streets and he hears a plane, he starts screaming and just escaping because he's thinking that it's going to drop a bomb on him or something. Because he saw the bomb and the bomb was dropped.
Ali!
This is all be back. I'm gonna play a little bit, then I come back.
Yeah.
So he's very. We're very, pretty much spoiling him. And, you know, to let them get off, out of this scary idea that he has from the plane.
Because
he's 8 years old, and a B-52 dropped the bomb on his house. In the name, yeah, خلصنا خلاص, it's okay. يلا روح. قول له ما السلامة ولا سلام عليكم وروح.
يلا. ما استيم سلام عليكم.
قولها بالعربي.
سلام عليكم.
سلام عليكم in Arabic means peace be upon you.
Yeah.
Like here we say goodbye or something, we say سلام عليكم. So, you know, can you imagine 8 years old when a country that says that we are here to bring peace to every country? So they went there to the country of Iraq to liberate Iraqis. They killed his brother. He's 11 or 12 years old. So he was dead. His father was dead. And he saw them. He saw his brother and his father in pieces. And he lost his two fingers like this. But when he see his father in pieces and he's 7 or 8 years old, how is going to feel about this country when he grows up? Where he gonna know? Nobody's gonna tell him the truth. And the truth is that this guy, Bush, he's going there for his interests or his family interests or maybe for this country's interests. We don't know yet. And this guy, he keeps saying we are freedom of religion. We are going to protect Iraqis from Saddam. Actually, what we're thinking, and maybe my point of view, I might be wrong, but I think it's a setup between Saddam and Bush to attend something. I don't know. Politics are all liars and all evils, most of them, because there is no noble. Politics is just interest. America, when the first time they brought the black man, it was for what? For slavery, right? Now they say the freedom with justice, we have, everybody has to live just, and till today, fix your own country. Then you go fix other people. You don't have freedom here. The black man doesn't have the freedom. I've been traveling all around the United States and the world. Like I told you, I'm an electrical engineer. I'm after sales service. And I traveled all over the states. And the worst places I've seen is Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Arizona and Texas, of course, with the Mexicans. Now they call them Mexicans after they took their land. California as well, and everywhere. What I believe is America is a great country, but the truth, it's a country for the white man, and everybody should be a slave, directly or not directly. And we keep just making like a makeup to the words and say, okay, freedom. So if it's the freedom, the owners of the country that we live in right now, they are living in the reservations, which is the Indians. So how come? Give them the freedom to live with everybody. They're surrounded in reservations, and we say, okay, we're going to go to Iraq, we're going to Saudi Arabia. And I don't want to swear to you, but I can promise you that I'm telling you the truth, that the those people that blow off these places in Saudi Arabia, and we heard they blow 4 or 5 cars in Morocco today.
And you have any last words before I end my right now?
Well, thank you very much. I don't have anything else to say, but except I have like a humor to say about those the misunderstanding of the truth. So my advice to every single American, either if regardless if he's a Muslim or Christian or anything, non-believer, Buddhist, when they hear anything on the news, so I hope that they think and they read what's behind the lines, not just see the TV and it's a big pie, extra large pizza and bottle of 2 liters of Coke and see, oh, those terrorists, those da, 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 da. So I hope everybody understands like the fact I told you why America is so, we have Muslims in America, we have Muslims in Canada, we have, why all the crimes and those blowing stuff and these explosions only in Muslim countries? Because we believe that there is some, like some people, they have interest in oil and stuff like that, and they try to put like tricks, crimes, like the CIA, what they have done with Kennedy. And they told them, okay, we're going to blow off Cuban stuff. We blow off one ship, Cuban ship and stuff like this.
Yeah.
And we blame Cuba and we go, we attack them. And he says no. And then they kill them.
Yeah.
That's what happened with Bush. And he says yes, because he's a money guy, he's an oil guy. Kennedy was a honor man. So that's why he refused. And that's why he's dead. But he's dead and he's a honored person. Everybody who talks about Kennedy now, he say he was a good man. You know, we're all gonna die, but how the people are gonna remember you if you were good to your country and your people, or if you're bad to your country and your people? So that's what I say.
Iraqi Americans at a Los Angeles area mosque speaking with Armand Pai of Pacifica Station KPFK. Special thanks to Fidel Rodriguez for production assistance with that report. You're listening to Pacifica's Peace Watch. I'm Verna Avery Brown. When we come back, a Muslim American who's been detained because he says he refuses to become a spy for the FBI. We'll be back in a moment.